What a great song choice, Stuart. We didn't collaborate there like Steve and I are going to for tomorrow night, but that was a great song choice because it's going to go with our lesson very well tonight. Appreciate you being here once again tonight. Got a few really special visitors tonight. You know, I can't call out everybody, but I'm going to call out a few. Scott and Sheila Richardson are here tonight, some friends from Athens that we've invited. Scott's the one who baptized me into Christ. He used to preach where I currently preach, and I was a member then. Or wasn't a member until he baptized me. But either way, so it's good to see the Richardsons, and we love them dearly. Jerry and Dottie Henderson are here from Red Bay, Alabama. That's about a two-hour drive, if you're not counting, that they've driven to be here tonight, who also used to preach at Piney Grove and are very good friends of ours that have come to be with us. And Stacy Cream, another preacher at Tri-Cities, one of my close friends. And my mom and my cousin Louise are here tonight. She says Aunt Louise, but regardless, I'm so thankful that my mom and Louise are with us tonight as well. It's good to see everybody here, especially all the members here at O'Neill that are supporting this meeting. I've tried to cover various topics this week. We've looked at several different things, and tonight I want us to think about our children. We've mentioned children within lessons, but we haven't done a lesson on children yet. Now, here at O'Neill, you're blessed. I brought my daughters here a couple years ago to your VBS. And that night, sixth grade and under, y'all did a count, and there was 96 kids here. 96. I don't know if you recall that or not, but that night there were 96 sixth grade and under. You've got a lot of children here. I know some are out of town this week with it being fall break. There's some that are obviously may not be with us for other reasons, but there's a lot of children. Some are yours, some are your grandchildren. Whatever the relationship is, everywhere I go, this is what I hear. Where are the children? Where are the children in the church? Where are the children growing? And this isn't just in the Lord's church. This is a religious problem of all types of faiths. So when you say, where are the children? I look around, I see young families on a Tuesday night here at O'Neill. That's where they need to be. But what we want to do is look at tonight where all our children are going. Why there are less children in the church than there may have been in years past. And what I want us to do, we're going to look at three points. Three things we're giving our children over to. Three idols that we're sacrificing our children to. And I'm going to start with an Old Testament passage that's going to lead us into that. But before I do, I want to share with you a picture. And I want you to tell me if you've ever seen this picture. Is there anybody in this audience who has ever seen this picture? Somebody in this audience has seen this picture. And if I had a pointer here, I don't think this has... That is Guy McDaniel. That is Guy McDaniel. And let me tell you something else. That was his sweet sister, Christine, that worshipped with me at Piney Grove for 31 years that passed away about 3 weeks ago. And the rest of his siblings in this picture, that's his father and his mother. All the rest of the siblings have passed away but Guy. He has one sister left, but she's not in this picture because she wasn't born yet. Is that correct, Guy? That's correct. I was at Guy's house last week on Tuesday for about 3 hours. We got to talk and visit in a way that we never had before. He had just had some health issues that we're so thankful God has blessed with to get over. And I was being shown this picture by Guy. And I said, let me ask you something, Guy. Why were you and your siblings so faithful to the Lord? Because I'm going to tell you, Christine Hester, Scott and Sheila will tell you, they were as faithful as they come. Jerry and Dottie will tell you the same thing. They were faithful Christians. And I know Guy McDaniel is. I used to preach in front of his brother Charles at Tharptown all the time. Let me tell you something. I asked Guy, I said, why were you? And he said, my parents. The reason I'm who I am today, the reason my siblings were faithful was because of my parents. And if we want to see our children faithful in the future, we've got to set the example. We've got to be what the Lord would have us to be. And as we just sung, we want to have Christian homes. Turn with me to the Old Testament, to the book of Leviticus and 2 Kings. Now, if you have trouble turning, I'll have these verses on the next slide. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that. But if you want to turn, that's what the verses we're going to be looking at. I'm going to say you're not probably super familiar with these passages, but I hope when you leave tonight that Matt Taylor is familiar with these passages, even more than he was before he came, and so the rest of us. In the Old Testament, before Israel entered Canaan, God had warned them about the abominable practices of the heathen nations and that they were going to displace, they were going to get rid of. Particularly, the practice of child sacrificing. Let me ask you a question. Now, I want you to really think about this. If I told you tonight that what we were going to do is we were going to take any child in this audience, We're going to bring them up here and set them on this piece of wood, and we were going to start a fire, and we were going to sacrifice that child in fire. Burn the child, a burnt sacrifice. How many of you in here would lose your mind and say, you have lost your mind, you are crazy? I hope every one of you in here would say, Mitchell, you've lost your mind, we're not going to sacrifice any children tonight. Okay, now stop. So everybody agrees we should not sacrifice our children. But we're going to see in the lesson tonight, we may not be sacrificing through fire our children and our grandchildren, but we're giving them up to idols in other ways. It may not be by fire, but we're giving our children and our grandchildren up to idols in other ways than fire. In Leviticus 18, verse 21, if you'll read with me, it says, do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech. For you must not profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. Notice what he says. Your children to be sacrificed to Molech, the idol here. And then you go to 2 Kings 16, verses 2 and 3 on down the road, and let's see what happens. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years, unlike David his father. He did not do what was right in the sight of the eyes of the Lord, his God. He followed the ways of the kings of Israel and even sacrificed his son in the fire, engaging in the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites that we just read about in Leviticus 18. And you can go on a couple chapters later, and you can see another king doing the same thing. So if you have a son, Glenn, imagine having your son in a sacrifice by fire to the Lord. That would break our hearts, wouldn't it? Matt, you've got to say it would break your heart, wouldn't it? But you know, all of you in here that have children or grandchildren, they may be grown. They may be 50 or 60 years old. They may still be in your home. They may be future children that you're going to have. What about us? We're doing the same things. We're doing it just a different way. Throughout God's Old Testament, through one of His greatest prophets, Jehovah tells us how bad He feels about this practice. Now, look at the screen at this passage. We're in Jeremiah, okay, chapter 32, verses 30 through 35. And this is the context of our lesson. We're going to look at our 3 points, and the lesson is yours. Look at this passage. The people of Israel and Judah have done nothing but evil in my sight from their youth. Indeed, the people of Israel have done nothing but arouse my anger with what their hands have made, declares the Lord. From the day it was built until now, this city has so aroused my anger and wrath that I must remove it from my sight. The people of Israel and Judah have provoked me by all the evil they have done. They, their kings and officials, their priests and prophets, the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, they turned their backs to me and not their faces. Though I taught them again and again, they would not listen or respond to discipline. They set up their vile images in the house that bears my name and defiled it. How many churches are doing that today? They're setting up what they call religion in God's house today, and they're making it a den of thieves. They've turned it into entertainments and pleasures. It's not a house of worship anymore. A lot of churches aren't. Continue reading there. Verse 35. They built high places for Baal in the valley of Ben-Hinnom to sacrifice their sons and daughters to Molech. And by the way, that implies fire sacrifice. That's the type of sacrifice we're talking about. Though I never commanded, nor did it enter my mind that they should do such a detestable thing and so make Judah sin. So this is the thought of our lesson tonight. They, as we've read about already in three different Old Testament passages, would take their children and sacrifice them to idols. Now that's a pretty sincere faith. I mean, if you're willing to give your child, you can't say, well, they don't really care. They're sort of lukewarm. They're pretty sincere. But it didn't please God. It wasn't the type of faith that God was looking for. So let's look at these 3 points. And tonight, what I want you to ask about your children, your grandchildren, and your home, and your future home, in this church at O'Neill, wherever it is, are we sacrificing our children to idols? Just as they did, just in a different way. And the first of those 3 ways that we're going to look at, are before we get to that, I thought these images were pretty good here. You've got this girl. And what's your mom doing? Well, she's pampering her in every single way. Just the word that we would use a lot of times is spoiled, right? In every single way. And then you see today that we have, you know, so many electronics and entertainments that we've substituted our modern-day gods for the ancient idol Molech. We're not through sacrificing our children to idols. The first of the three is the God of apathy. We sacrifice our children to the God of apathy. And this is the one we're going to spend the least amount of time on. The God of apathy. Look at that picture. Does that not say it all? How excited are young people today about a sincere form of worship to God? As a child, you have to learn worship. You have to learn what God wants and why He wants it. It doesn't come natural. You don't take a 10-year-old child and worship to God is natural. It doesn't work like that. It has to be learned and taught. Too many children no longer care about ethics and manners and respect and responsibility. My dad's on the board at the local stockyard where we live. And I used to work there when I was in college. And every time you go, it's like somebody's there and we're having so many problems. I suck here. What's going on? We can't keep anybody that will work. We can't keep anybody to come in on time that will do the job. You can't find it. Even worse, many children of Christians do not care about the Lord, His Word, or His church. When you think about the future of O'Neill, who's going to have the spirit and zeal and love for this church that Guy McDaniel does? That Glenn Presnell does. That Tommy Smith does. Because somebody's got to follow. Somebody's got to love the church and love the Lord and love the work. If as parents we don't care, our children aren't going to carry it. I'm going to start with 2 Peter 1 at verse 5. And you can turn there, you can listen to me one or the other. But right here Peter says, and give diligence to these things. What things? He said, be diligent to add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. So he gives a list of seven things. But the key is, obviously the seven things are important. But the key is the first part. Be diligent to do these things. To add these things to your faith. Well, I'm just not that interested. We're not that interested. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read verses 10 and 11. Romans 12, verses 10 and 11. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful. That's the word we're looking for. In business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Slothful. You know, a child sees a baseball player or a basketball player, and they watch. And they say, I want to try that. I want to try to shoot that basketball. I want to try to hit that baseball or that softball. They see an instrument. They say, I want to play. My kids will go in the house with a piano, and it'll be worth $1 million to don't touch piano, and they're over there at some point trying to play the piano. Okay? It's a natural instinct. Now, are they born with the ability to just know how to play the piano or to hit that ball or to shoot that basketball? No. How do they get better? They first of all say, I want to, and then they practice. It's the same spiritual. Stuart, when you were 8 years old, could you lead singing like that? If so, then you were a prodigy. I mean, it was a great deal. It don't work like that. You practice that skill. You learn that skill. You acquire it by practice. But when we're apathetic about church and worship, and well, we'll get our kids to Bible class sometimes. We don't have Bible class on Sunday mornings just for fun. That's a teaching period for the children here at O'Neill, at Piney Grove, wherever we meet with the saints. And it's way beyond the 2 hours a week that we meet on Sunday morning for Bible class and Wednesday night for Bible class. What about in our homes? My children, on the way here, Monica brought their homework. I've tried that before. I had a pretty good feeling, and I've tried different things other than homework, that when you're going on a road trip, you think, well, I'm going to bring a book. It never gets done. You know, you get to talking to never gets done. But she tried. She wanted to do it, Stacy. We've got to do it at home. You practice ball at home. You practice schoolwork. You've got to practice studying the Bible. Teaching, spiritual instruction. What a Christian is. What we're trying to do. Why we're on this earth and where we're going when we leave here. Now, my wife and my mom will tell you more honestly than my wife. My wife will take up for me. My mom will tell you that I'm a pretty busy guy. And she'll tell me all the time, even when I feel like I'm doing it, she'll say, spend time with your children. Take some time for your children. Be with your children. Love your children. Because one day that time's going to be gone. Hey, my kids Saturday during the Florida-Auburn game were on fire. They were loving it. What about on Sunday morning? Is it that same zeal, that same passion? Are they that excited? You think about the world today, we're so apathetic. It's a lukewarm about worship, about Bible study, about the church. They've got to have a love for it. And that love has to be taught and exemplified. God give us Christian homes. In Hebrews 6, I'm going to read verses 9 through 12. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence, the same word Peter used, diligence, to the full assurance of hope and to the end, that you be not slothful. Don't be lazy about it. Don't be half-hearted, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The Bible teaches diligence, not negligence. Not, I neglected to talk to my children about this. I neglected to teach my children this. I neglected to put an emphasis on worshiping God and God in our lives with my children. I neglected that. We want to be diligent, not negligent when it comes to that. So the first thing we're offering our children up, it's not in a sacrifice of fire, but we're giving them up to the God of apathy. Well, we're worn out and we're tired and, you know, somebody else, it's just not that big a deal. We don't need to be apathetic. We need to be all in and zealous for the Lord. Secondly, we're sacrificing our children to the God of materialism. Is that not the American child today? Gets a $250,000 to $500,000 car for his birthday. Matt, you've got one in your garage I saw it the other day. Does he bring that around in the parking lot much? Or? Regardless, $250,000 to $500,000. I didn't want that one. I wanted a jet, guy. I wanted my own jet so I could just fly around. That's not the one I wanted. Isn't that the American child today? Never content, never satisfied, never thankful. I'm so ashamed when that's me. Because there's days that is me. Many raise their children in an environment. It's not that they set out and say, hey, money's the most important thing. But it's in an environment where money and possessions take center stage. In other words, it's Tuesday night. Now listen to me good right here. I would have thought differently on this when I was younger. Because I just would have. When I was, I'm going to share an example that Scott Richardson may or may not remember. But when I had preached my first lesson or two, I had taken a job where I had to work some Sunday nights. I had to work a few Sunday nights. And I remember one Sunday, Scott pulled me over and he said, you know, I think if you're going to be preaching, you need to be here every Sunday night. And you know, that was a duh moment. You're exactly right, I need to be here. But you know, a lot of 18 through 22-year-olds in college, you would say, well, it's their first job. Tell me how many high school students or 18 to 22-year-old students are providing for their families. They need that $8 an hour, that $10, so much that they have to miss the gospel meeting tonight to be at work. And I'm sure there's some here tonight, and you'd say, that's my child or my grandchild tonight. They need that $8 to $10 so much that job is so valued that we could have had 50 visitors from this community. You have two meetings here a year, just as we do at Piney Grove. I think I've got that correct. We have two at Piney Grove. But they've got to be at that $8 to $10 an hour job so bad because they're providing for their family. They're not, generally speaking. I know there's exceptions. But they chose to go there instead of take off tonight. And I'm not trying to be rude or evil. I'm trying to tell you the truth. I've been there. And that's a big regret in my life. Thankfully, it didn't last long. But how do we get somebody to see that? Because a work ethic is good. We're commanded to work. And that's a great thing to see a young person willing to work and get out there. I'm not debating that. But God has to be first. We've got to find time to make that hour of worship tonight, whatever it takes. If that's when you spend your lunch break, if that's the day you take off, hey, if they were going on a trip to the beach or the mountains or out of town somewhere, they'll find a way to get a day off or 2 days off or a week off. But for the gospel meeting, for Sunday worship service, I don't know. Now, I know some people, it's their career. It's a different story. But an 18 to 22-year-old? This example sends the wrong message to our children. Look at Luke 12 at verse 15. Luke. Chapter 12 at verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And he skipped down to verse 21. We talk about spiritual poverty will come. So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And who's he called? What's he called him? A fool. That's what he calls him in the parable. A fool lays up for himself treasure here and not towards God. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6, some of the most famous verses in the Bible and one of Jesus' most famous sermons. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure? Because that's where your heart's going to be. A lot of times, our earthly treasures take precedence over our heavenly ones. And it's an honest fact. It happens to the best of Christians. It really does. Sometimes our earthly pleasures take precedence over our spiritual treasures. We've got to avoid that. Because if it's happening to us and we've got children in our home, they're going to see it and they're going to learn it. And they're going to be able to say the same thing we're saying. Well, it's okay this time. We'll learn to make excuses for it or say that it's all right. Let's make sure we don't do that. Turn with me to one more passage. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 10. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 10. Notice what Paul is saying to Timothy here. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to which many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Notice that. What happened when they started coveting that money? They erred from the faith. And they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I had a friend that worshipped with us, and she was telling me the story about her brother. He and his wife had gotten married at a young age. They both started off with a pretty decent job. They bought this huge house. 2 years later, they were living in a camper in their parents' front yard. Went a little bit too much. Now I want to talk to you about something here that's, try to follow me here. We may can have possessions on this earth. That's a fact, right, guy? There's nothing sinful about it. But what we do sometimes that we don't see the line of sin is this. We overextend ourselves. So in other words, we go and get a loan and we buy a house and some cars and some possessions. And now we're in debt, which if you're going to have something, you've usually got to go in debt to get it. But now we're so in debt, and we had to go ahead and get that boat. We had to go and get the kids all these toys and all these things, and toys for the adults too, right? And we go out to eat. So what we've done is we've extended ourselves so much financially that we have to work on Sundays, that we have to miss gospel meetings, that we have to miss spiritual get-togethers at the ladies' Bible class on Friday night. That we can't. Why? Because we've overextended ourselves so much that now, whereas before there was nothing wrong with these things, but they become unhealthy to us. And they're piercing us through with sorrows. We're having to sacrifice spiritual things to have these earthly things. They've taken precedence over our heavenly ones. Spiritual poverty will come. What about us? Are we offering our children up to the gods of materialism? These things are more important than God. They weren't at first, but they are now. What about us? And then finally, we're sacrificing our children. And this may be the most popular one, to the God of pleasure. To the God of pleasure. This begins as many children observe their parents' obsessions with secular activities. The problem is not a healthy pursuit of such innocent interests, but an unhealthy one. Hey, I played Little League Baseball from the time I was 9 through high school. And I loved it. And I wouldn't change it for the world. It was a very healthy thing. I learned a lot. Had a lot of friends. No regrets. Played basketball, same period basically. No regrets. I want my children to do the same thing. And no regrets. But you know what? We're not going to miss a worship service for a practice. And we're not going to miss one for a game. If it leads us out of town and we're 3 states away, we're going to find a place to worship. If it's something we can be at the home congregation, we're going to be there, no matter if we have to miss it or leave it. When I was at Piney Grove, the first couple years, we had two young men that both played high school football for the same team. Same age, same grade, first cousins. We're having a gospel meeting. One of the young men came up to me and said, "I'll be here every night." He was there every night. The other young man never said a word to me, didn't say anything about it. He missed it every night. Well, it was during football season, like right now, and they would usually practice till about 5:30, 6 o'clock. I'm not positive. And the one that was there every night, he was very dedicated. And he had told his coach, we were having a gospel meeting, and the coach said, "When you need to leave, you leave." I'm pretty sure the other one never mentioned it to his coach because he was not going to miss football practice. He loved it, and that's completely fine to enjoy. Which one of those two do you think was faithful a year later and is still a faithful Christian? Which one of those do you think became unfaithful, started abusing drugs and alcohol, lost a lot of his family and relationships, and now is having lots of health problems? I don't even have to tell you the answer. You know the answer without me telling you. It starts with simple, small choices that down the road implicate huge things. As a matter of fact, sometimes we're going to see some that will give their soul for these things. The problem is allowing activities to crowd out God out of our hearts. Look at Luke 8. You're going to remember this from earlier in the week. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 and verse 14. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Remember that? And verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. There's nothing wrong with these things. But when these things start taking control of your life and dictating your schedule and your time and your priorities, you've got to take a step back. And you've got to say, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Because now we've shown our children that learning to play the piano or learning to play this instrument in the band is much more important than worshiping God. Learning to hit this baseball or softball, learning to shoot this basketball or throw this football, learning to fish like this, we've shown them that that's the most important thing. So there's got to be a distinction that when you go over the Elk River on Sunday morning to worship, or you go over the O'Neill Bridge to worship God on Sunday morning, and you see all these people out there on their boats on Sunday morning, and you're pretty sure they're not going to worship God today, that you take that moment to say, Monday through Saturday, that is a fine activity, and we really enjoy it. But on Sunday, it's the Lord's Day. When their friends want to have a party on a Saturday night, and they all get together and they say, well, now you need to be home at this time because tomorrow we've got to worship God. And we don't want you to be half asleep at services tomorrow or crying because we've got to get up early in the morning to go because you stayed out till 4 in the morning. And if you want to do that, you go ahead and be prepared to make sure that you're full of energy tomorrow and that you take a nap after church because we're not going to mess up our worship to God. Small things like that that show our children and our grandchildren God is first. But so many times we love pleasure over loving God. And that's a sure sign of sin. In 2 Timothy 3 at verse 4. 2 Timothy 3 at verse 4. Traitors. What's he talking about here? Let's look at verse 1. He says, know this, that in the last day perilous times will come. And he gives a list of all these different types of people that are going to be in perilous times. And in verse 4 he says, traitors, heady, high-minded. Look at the next one. This is it's a sin. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. He never says, if you have an entertainment or a pleasure, it's a sin. Never says it. You like Alabama football? He never said it's a sin. You like Auburn basketball? Never says it. You like to go fishing? You like to play an instrument? You like to be in the club down the road or play rook on Saturday night? Louise, you like to play rook, right? Not a sin. But when you start to love those pleasures more than you love God, it becomes sinful. And what we do is we see that child that we love and she looks up at us and she smiles and says, Daddy, I love you. And it just eats your heart up. And you say, how can I tell her no? And you see your son and he's carrying around his batting bag with his bat. And you remember playing when you were a child and he's like, Daddy, we've got practice today at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, at 5 o'clock on Sunday night. Well, we're going to have to be an hour late. But that's hard for a lot of dads to say. That's hard for a lot of parents to do. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If you just put God first, you can do all the rest. But He's got to be first. And we've got to let our children know that. And our grandchildren know that. Or what will happen is, if we're missing assemblies, if we're missing Bible studies, if we're not doing things in our home, if we're allowing these things to come ahead of God, they're going to do the same thing. And we're going to say, just like the old country songs, just like everything you see, they're watching. They're watching their father. And they're going to do what he does. They're watching their mother. They're going to do what she does. And we're going to know that we're the ones to blame. In conclusion, God only gives us our children for a short while. Then we must give them up. You know, a lot of you have children that are grown. They're out of the home now. And two of the saddest words in the human language are, "What if?" What if? What if we would have done things differently? What if we would have put this first? What if I would have taken more time with them? What if? And sometimes there's good, godly Christian folks, and they do everything they can to raise their children right, and their children still aren't faithful. We see it in the Scriptures. We've seen it in our churches. But what if we were to put God first? We cringe at the idea of sacrificing a child through fire. We all agree. I don't even have to ask you. If we were to burn a child tonight, we would all agree that would be horrendous, terrible, ruthless, and awful. But if we're giving up our children to idols and they lose their soul, hell is described to be a place with fire and torment. Tell me what the difference is. Tell me what's the difference. And so many parents love their families so much that when their children want to do something sinful, they just follow. We had a family at Piney Grove before I was even born. I've been told this story, even by the family, without them even realizing they were telling me. They lived about a mile from the church. Her son moved to town, started attending a place that was not faithful. His son got into some things that a lot of people, even at that church, who wasn't a faithful group, told him was wrong. But before they got to that, they were at Piney Grove. And some of the folks there said, "You know, some of that stuff's not right." "Oh, you're telling me the things my son or my daughter's involved in, they should..." "We'll see y'all later." And they left Piney Grove, went to that church in town. Then it was said that, "Well, we'll see y'all later. We'll just keep looking until somebody tells us they can do it and it's not sinful." And before it happened, a lot of families can look and say, "Now that's not a reason for remarriage." But when it's their child and they've been divorced, and they're, all of a sudden we start rethinking everything. "Well, maybe now it's okay." "Well, homosexuality is a sin." "Well, now it's your child sitting there." "Well, maybe it's okay." Before, we stood up for what was right. But now that it's my children or my grandchildren, I'm not so sure it's a sin. I'm not so sure that it's not okay. Why have you changed your mind? Did the Word of God change? No. But you love them more than you love God. Scripture says we've got to love God the most. We've got to hate our mother, our father, our brother, our sister. We've got to hate them in comparison to God. And that doesn't mean we hate them. That means we love them less. If you look at the Greek version, he's just saying you've got to love them less. But a lot of people have problems with that. They love them more than God, or so they think they do. That's not love. Because if we loved them, we would try to save their soul more than anything else. In Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way is right. When he's old, he will not depart from it." Do we do this? It takes time. It takes effort. It takes love. Real love. Are we willing to do that? We're not going to read it again, but you remember the Jeremiah passage we read earlier. They were offering their children up to idols through fire. We're doing it in a different way today. To the gods of apathy, to the gods of materialism, and to the gods of pleasure. Is that you? Is that me? Hey, I'm preaching this lesson, and if you haven't figured it out yet, I've got two and one on the way. So I'm going to be held responsible for raising those two girls and my future son. And on the day of judgment, I'll give an account for it. I can't stand up here and just preach it tonight and then drive off happily ever after and say, "Well, hope it works out." I've got a lot of work to do. But I'm thankful for brothers and sisters and like you so I can bring my children and they can sit with other children and visit with other children whose parents are trying to rear them in the same way. And so when they can't go to that thing or that event or be part of something that we consider to be sinful or wrong, I can say, "Well, we'll go spend time with their children." Because their parents aren't allowing them to do it either. We'll go visit that congregation because they're going to be there tonight. We'll see them at VBS. We'll spend, just like 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil companionships corrupt good works. We're going to be around good people to strengthen our children. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. So I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for this congregation. Let's raise our children together to know the Lord, to love the Lord, and put Him first. Let's don't sacrifice them to idols. While they're in your home, God give us Christian homes. Let's be the parents they need, the grandparents they need, and put God first. Daddy, I said I wanted a blue car. Isn't that the way it works today? What about us tonight? I know the lesson's been geared around raising our children, but we've studied other topics this week. And maybe you've been studying in your home and you want to become a Christian. There's no better time than the present. There's water ready. There's a family around you that loves and cares for you. I want to change gears just slightly as we conclude. God is all of our Father. He created all of us. And if you've never obeyed the gospel, you're not His child yet. But He wants you to be. He's done everything possible. In fact, He gave His only Son to die on the cross so that we could all be His children. So that we could be brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe tonight you want to become His child. God loves you, cares for you. He's proved that with His grace, His mercy, and His love, and His daily blessings He abides to all of us. Maybe you've done that, but in the lesson tonight, you can say, I've been putting material things, pleasures. I've been very apathetic towards the work of the church at O'Neill, the future of the congregation, the future of the work of the Lord, and I need to make some changes. I need to put God first. I need to quit offering myself to idols and my children and my grandchildren. It's time to make some changes. And maybe that's public. But most likely it's private. With me, it's private. I've got changes I want to make. I want to be better. I don't want to lose my children. I don't want to lose my own soul. I don't want to lose anybody's soul. And if it is private, let's go home. Let's make these changes for the future of O'Neill, for the future of your family, for our children, for the Lord's church. And if there's any way we can assist you, why don't you come as we sing this song?